So the Gospel of John chapter 4, and we continue our series in the Gospel of John and take a little time here. John chapter 4, we finished up last week with the story, the interview of Nicodemus, that Jewish ruler, the religious ruler. And by the way, if you look at the end of the book of John, you'll know that Nicodemus, appears that he did become a follower of Jesus Christ, because he's the one who helped, again, put Jesus Christ in the tomb. And so that's interesting. John chapter 4 and verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. And then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. And Jesus therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy meat. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for, again, your love. We pray, Lord, that you would be with the message this morning, with your word as being preached. Lord, may we see again the importance of loving the way that you love. In Jesus' name, amen. The little chorus we sing growing up in Sunday school, Jesus loves the little children. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Jesus died for all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus died for all the children of the world. Just a reminder this morning, I think, again, the focus of the message will be two-part, but one is that God loves all. When John 3:16 for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And just as a side note, I'm going to mention it at least two more times. He loves the world because he created it all. And he creates each individual. And so, again, if we're not careful, as a church or as individuals, our focus can get off. And when it comes to what we see here, Jesus Christ said to his disciples, we must needs go through Samaria. He was going to Samaria to reach one person, as it were, to speak to one person. And, of course, we know that one person affected the entire community. But he said, I must needs go through Samaria. I just want a reminder again this morning, the focus the church should have, and that is to reach the lost. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, the Bible says, For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus Christ's purpose for coming to this earth was to seek and to save that which is lost. He was here to save sinners. He was here to redeem mankind. And so therefore, again, he left that for us to do. The purpose of the church is to win people to Christ, to give the gospel, to see them baptized, to see them taught the word of God. But we are to reach them. That is the primary purpose of the church, of Heritage Baptist Church and any other church, is to win people to Jesus, to give them the gospel, to share the good news of salvation, to baptize them and disciple them, to evangelize, baptize, and stabilize, to win them, wed them, and work them. Amen. That's the purpose. And I know I've mentioned it 1,000 times, but again, we have new people. If Kevin Davis, he's sitting here, he has a tire company. If Kevin Davis, and the name of his tire company is Calzer Tire. And let's say you went, you needed tires that, on Monday morning, so tomorrow morning you get up and you head towards Calzer Tire on 820 and 156, and you get there, it still says Calzer Tire, it still says Goodyear and some other name brands or whatever, but you get to there, you park, and you go inside, and all you see is hula hoops. Kevin Davis has become a hula hoop salesman. Some of y'all know Brother Kevin, this is hilarious. Anyway, but you go into the store and what is on the sign is not what's in the store. He's selling hula hoops now. You can put whatever you want to on the sign. What really matters is what's in the store. And a church can put church on a sign out front, or some organization could put church on the sign out front. But just because they have the word church on their sign doesn't make them a church. It matters what goes on the inside. And if they're not fulfilling the primary purpose of the church that God gave them and that Christ commissioned us to do as a church, then they're not a church. They can be a social organization, and they may be a good organization. They can be a place to come fellowship. And there's other reasons to come for church, but the primary purpose is to win and to wet and to work people. It is to evangelize people. It is to give them the gospel. And a church who ceases to do that as its primary purpose ceases, by definition, by biblical definition, ceases to be a church. So we must keep the main thing the main thing. What was VBS for? All the work that we did. All the work that you did. It's to share the gospel. To see little Aniston, hopefully here in a few weeks, but put her in the baptistry. It's to disciple them. VBS is a great way to disciple kids, to teach them a theme. It's great. So Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus was concerned and he was compassionate for everyone. He wished that all would be saved. I was in our staff meeting this week, and I was reminding our staff, and I had to remind myself at the end of the staff meeting. We did all this talking about preparing for certain events and certain things. We have staff meeting on Mondays at 1:30. I think last week we had it on Tuesdays at 1:30. And as we prepared and got all that together, I said at the very end, I said, just again, I need to be reminded. Sometimes you got to go take your rifle and reset it, right? Recite it in. Sometimes we as staff and sometimes we as a church need to recite our rifle and be reminded that all the planning and all the preparing is simply to give the gospel out. The motivation is to win people, to see them come to the saving knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The greatest news that we can give somebody is the gospel. The greatest life-changing event in anyone's life is getting saved. You want to change somebody's life? Give them the gospel. They get saved, the Lord will change them. You want somebody to have peace and contentment and joy unspeakable and full of glory? Give them the gospel. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in their life. They get saved. They'll have joy. They'll experience contentment. They'll have a better life here, not just in eternity, but a better life here. And Jesus Christ had that kind of compassion. We know this because, again, in John 2, he talks about, the Bible says there that many believed on him because of the miracles he did. We have the interview of Nicodemus that we've studied for the last 3 or 4 weeks. And again, Nicodemus, a great man, a religious leader, a Jew who was a historian and a leader and a ruler of his people. And Jesus said to him, what? Verily, verily, I say unto you, you must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You can't go to heaven, he said. That Jesus said to Nicodemus, unless you get saved, unless you get born again. Hope this morning you know you've been born again. And Jesus, again, met with the individual, by the way. He met with Nicodemus. In John chapter 4, here we have the woman at the well, a woman who was living in immorality and was an outcast. And there he offered her living water. He said to her, whosoever drinketh of this water that I shall give shall never thirst again. Christ is an artesian well, a well that never runs dry. In John chapter 4, and we'll study this later in a few weeks, the nobleman believed the word that Jesus had spoken, and his son was healed. And Jesus Christ sought. He went out of his way. He took the time to share the good news of salvation with individuals. Jesus only spent about 20% of his time with the large crowds. He spent 80% of his time with individuals. He spent 80% of his time with little crowds, with his disciples and with ladies like the woman at the well or Nicodemus or whomever it may be. Why? Again, because Jesus Christ loves all. And by the way, each person is special to God. That really needs to be pointed out in the day we live in today. Each person is special to God. I'll point that out here a little more in a minute. It says there that he left. He left Jerusalem. He left the Judea there and made his way through or to Galilee. And just as a side note for some of you who like to, you know, this kind of stuff, it was almost as though as he was rejected there and he ran the money changers out of the temple and all those things there, it was as if he said, okay, Judea, and, you know, if you don't want anything to do with me, I'm going to head to Galilee. And the bulk of his ministry from here on out was in Galilee, was the town in which he was from and so forth, and the area which he was from. Of course, born in Bethlehem, but raised in Galilee. He made his way there. And he said in verses 4 through 6, again, verse 4, he said, and he must needs go through Samaria. And I know some of you are going to turn me off. You've heard this 100 times, but I, again, a reminder that this is, he went to the city there called Sychar. This is a place in which Jacob had given this property to Joseph. And so he must needs go through Samaria, was, again, the area, the province of Samaria. I always use the illustration that's kind of like Texas, Oklahoma, and Kansas. So you had down at the bottom there at the Mediterranean Sea where it curves, you have Judea at the bottom, the province or the state of Judea, and then you have Samaria in the middle, and then you have Galilee at the top. So you had these three states, these three provinces at the bottom, again, in the middle. And so the middle province is a lot like Oklahoma. Nobody liked it. And it was, the Samaritans were half Jew, half Syrian or Assyrian. And the Jews thought of them, really thought of them as dogs and no better than dogs. They were treated very harshly by the Jews. So much so that the Jews, in order to go to Galilee, would go all the way around Samaria, the province. They'd go all the way around Oklahoma. Wouldn't even go through it. Some Oklahomans in here. My dad was born in Oklahoma. So the Crawford family for, I don't know, 80 years or so, kind of from that area. Anyway, they went around. They went around to avoid the Samaritans. They went ahead, if they were to touch a Samaritan, they would be unclean according to the temple and religious law. And it was just, it was crazy. They were so prejudiced, so bigoted. I'm actually using those words correctly right now. So discriminating, so unbiblical, and so unlike God. And when, no doubt, when Jesus said to his disciples, we must needs go through Samaria, there's no doubt because of, the culture, the disciples would have looked at each other and go, what are we doing? Why? And I it doesn't say it in the scripture, but I'm going to guess a few of them. I'm just going to infer that a few of them would ask Jesus, why are we going through Samaria? Nobody goes through Samaria. Jews don't go through Samaria. They go around. They go through the Jordan Valley. But Jesus Christ must needs go through Samaria. By the way, the Samaritan, the Samaria, that area, I kind of view it as the topography is a lot like the hill country in Texas. Very rugged, very hilly. They call them mountains over there. Us over here, we just call them hills. But they are high in elevation, the mountains of Jerusalem and Samaria as you go down through there. But it's very rugged, very, very hard to traverse. And so there are various reasons why somebody wouldn't even, because of the topography, maybe go through the Jordan Valley as it might be easier. And there was Jacob's well. Brother, and Jesus Christ arrives there at noon. That's what verse 6 says. It says there he was there about the sixth hour. That's noon. So somebody in 1697, there was a survey done there in Israel, and it was written down. They had found Jacob's well, and they had measured Jacob's well. And Jacob's well was 105 feet deep. 105 feet deep, about 8 feet in circumference and diameter. The first 10 feet down had been bricked or had been stoned, and you know it was a large well, 105 feet deep. Most of it cut through stone to get to that water. Again, Jacob's well. By the way, Joseph's tomb is only 400 yards away from Jacob's well. So this is a familiar place. When Jesus gets here, when he arrives here, there's a lot of biblical history there. A lot of biblical history. No doubt that would have come to his mind. I must needs go through Samaria, he said. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? I do want you to turn over to another verse. We quote this a lot, but I want you to go look at it. Acts 17. Acts 17. You know, racism is something that has been around forever since time, since God created all things. But I think it's good for us as Christians to be reminded over and over and over again what the Bible has to say about it. In Acts 17, look with me, we'll go to verse 26. And this is Paul. He's preaching in Athens. He's preaching on Mars Hill. He's preaching to intellectuals and those who have worshiped the Roman gods and the Greek gods. And he's addressing them. He's saying to them, hey, these gods you worship. And then they even had a statue in Athens there. They had statues all along the road. You know, one to Apollos and one to these different gods. And one that Paul came to, the statue, the little tag on it said, to the unknown God. The Athenians had actually made a statue to the unknown God because they didn't want to leave nobody out. Afraid they might get, bad trouble. And so Paul says to them, to the unknown God, which ye worship, him declare I unto you. The God who made all things. And he goes in and begins to describe Jehovah God. And as he's describing Jehovah God through this speech and through this sermon, if you'll look with me in verse 26, he says, he's describing the God, Jehovah God. He says, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. Hath made of one blood. We're all the same under the skin. There's not races. There's only one race, the human race. There's different ethnicities, but there's certainly not different races. Christian, this morning, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. We should love all as God loves all. And we should treat all loving and kind as God treats all loving and kind, because all are precious to him. All were created by him. Amen? Be reminded over and over again that Christ went to the Samaritan woman. A woman that the Jews, again, and not just the woman, but the people that the Jews were very prejudiced against. And Jesus Christ here taking this occasion to teach his disciples, hey, listen, we're here and we're in Samaria to reach them. Because many of them do come to the saving knowledge of Jesus through the Samaritan woman, through this woman at the well. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God loves all, and I mentioned this here a few weeks ago, God loves all because God loves each. You realize that God was the creator of the Samaritan woman as well as the Jew? Can we all be reminded this morning that every soul, every person you come in contact with is a creation of God, and God loves them as much as he loves you? And whether it's in different countries or around the world, whomever it may be, God loves all. He knows everybody's name. Everyone is special to God. Think about Adam and Eve. It's God there in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 made the heavens and the earth. And he made man also and placed him in the garden. And with man, he also made him a woman. Whoa, man. That's what Adam saw when he saw Eve. When Adam saw Eve, he went, whoa, man. Woman taken out of man. God made for him a woman, a helpmeet, one called alongside to work together. He made them special. He made them individual and placed them into a garden, a pristine garden that he had made for the elephants. No, God didn't make the garden for the elephants. God didn't make the world primarily for the giraffe or for whomever. No, God made it for man, mankind. God made stuff to taste different for your enjoyment. Hallelujah. Right? Aren't you glad there's chocolate cake? Aren't you glad that there's roast and mashed potatoes? Aren't you glad everything doesn't taste the same? You know, he could have made everything taste the same. The variety we have. Think about the variety of animals, a variety of plants, all the variety we have. I mean, he could have created everything in black and white instead of color. How many of y'all watch black and white TV as kids, right? Or as some of y'all as adults. But we had a black and white TV back in our back bedroom to play our Atari on. God could have made everything in black and white, but he made everything in color. God could have made everything taste the same, but he gave us this great plethora of different variety of food for our palate to tantalize our taste buds, and it's so good. He did that for you and for me. He made the variety of fish for us to enjoy the colors, and He made a variety of fish too that have their own purposes. But God made that variety of animals and the plants for us to enjoy. All the different kinds of flowers, all the different kinds of plants. It's amazing. God made us special. He made the animals in mass. He made man and woman individually with his own hands. God made you special. You're special this morning. You're special to God. And every person we meet, we ought to treat as God would treat them, that they are special. To treat them as God would treat them, in love and in kindness and respect and dignity. No matter their color, no matter their social standing, no matter their education. You ever been looked down upon because of your Texas accent? No matter what they may look like, no matter what they may smell like, every person ought to be treated with dignity and respect and love and kindness as Jesus would respect and love and be kind to them. I must needs go through Samaria. I have, again, no doubt the disciples were asking. If they didn't ask him, at least they were asking among each other, what are we doing going through Samaria? We notice again that the time was it was noon, and this woman had come to the well, and this woman had came at noon at the heat of the day. Why would she come at the heat of the day? Because usually they would come in the mornings to get the water to feed their animals, and they'd come in the evenings to come and get water to feed their animals. Why did she come at the heat of the day? Why did she come at noon? Why didn't she come when it was cooler in the morning and cooler in the evening, like most of the ladies did, or most of the men did? She was avoiding everybody. This woman was avoiding others. Because of her lifestyle, because of the way she was living, and she was living in immorality, she avoided the crowds because she didn't want to deal with the sneers, and she didn't want to deal with the gossip. She didn't want to deal with the stares of other people. She was looked down upon in that society. She was an outcast. And she didn't want to deal with it. So she came in the heat of the day, and just happened that Jesus was there. No way. Jesus knew she was going to be there. And Jesus met her there in the way. Can I again remind you, we must be careful when it comes to people, of what we say and what we say to others. I've said this many, many times, the greatest advocate of any Christian should be another Christian. And when somebody says something negative to you about someone else, you ought to be super careful. Gossip is a sin. The Bible makes that very clear. To tell something about someone else. What is it? If you ain't got nothing good to say, don't say it at all. That's a biblical principle. And so this lady came at noon to avoid the crowd, but Jesus was there. And it goes on, and let's go back there in Acts chapter, or let's look at, again, John chapter 4, verse 7. Therefore cometh a woman in Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, give me drink. And for her, the disciples had gone away into the city to buy meat. And I don't want to go past that very much, but we do know that she does ask the question to Jesus, why are you speaking to me, a woman of Samaria? I'm thankful that, God, again, Jesus Christ loves all. And he spoke to her. He asked for a drink. Jesus asked for a favor. Can I remind you this morning that Jesus Christ is God? That he was God in the flesh? So the man, Jesus Christ, asking the woman of Samaria there at the well to give him a drink, was asking her to give him a drink, though he made the water. Though he made all the water that's in the Great Lakes. He made all the water that's in the sea. He could have very easily have just asked, you know, just called up the water from the bottom of the 105-foot deep well. He brought water out of a rock for Moses and the Jews in the wilderness. By the way, he brought honey out of that rock. He brought oil out of that rock, provided for them. Jesus could have done anything. He turned water into wine just a couple of chapters ago. Hello? But he asks, give me drink. The creator of the universe asks the Samaritan woman to give him a drink. The creator of all. If you look back there in verse 6, it also says that he was wearied on his journey. He was wearied on his journey. I told you that, again, the topography is pretty tough there in that side of Judea and going into Samaria. It's very rocky and hilly, a lot like, in my opinion, a lot like the hill country in Texas. He could have had an easier route, maybe not as quite as difficult had he gone through the Jordan Valley, but he chose to go through there. And by the way, it's lunchtime. It's lunchtime. And for Jesus, it's lunchtime. And verse 8 tells you the disciples went in to find food. And so Jesus Christ is wearied on his journey. He's tired. He's thirsty. And he's hungry. He skips lunch to witness and to give the gospel to the woman at the well. I get hungry usually about 10:15. Maybe 10 o'clock. I try to have some kind of snack, protein bar or something. I've tried to do better and eat something, a little something at 10. But a lot of times by 11, I'm ready to go to lunch. 11:30, it's usually going to happen. I skip lunch very rarely. I can't remember the last time I skipped lunch. Hello? Don't look at me that way. So Jesus Christ had traveled through harsh conditions, harsh, again, topography, hilly and rocky. He had come to that well thirsty. He'd come to that well hungry, but that's not what he was thinking about. He worked very hard to get there, but that's not what he was thinking about. He was thinking about that woman who needed living water, who needed living water. I think about Vacation Bible School this week, and many of you worked all day at your job and then came that evening and worked 2 or 3 hours, 4 hours, getting here at 5 o'clock. We praise the Lord for Miss Janae and others who worked hard to feed us and all the things that happened this week. But I believe absolutely, I heard no one complain. Why? Because our motive was to give the gospel to 200 kids. Jesus' motive was to give the gospel to one lady, one immoral lady, one Samaritan lady, just one. Went out of his way, took the time, took the energy for one lady. How about us? As I said, every once in a while you have to kind of refocus. And I would say around here about every 5 or 6 messages, it's time we always kind of, okay, bring it back in. Are you focused? Are you focused? Are you winning? Are you telling somebody about Jesus? Have you told somebody about Jesus this week? Have you given the gospel out this week? Have you taken some energy and time and influence to give the gospel out? A lot of you did through VBS this week. But that's what we should be doing. All our resources at Heritage Baptist Church ought to be to tell others of living water. All your resources, all your strength to tell others of living water. It has eternal consequences. It's life or death. It's heaven or hell. And Jesus Christ had compassion and again took his time and went out of his way to meet this woman at the well. I know I've already said it 3 or 4 times in the message, but I'm so glad that Jesus Christ loves all. That he died for all the world, gave his life for all mankind, that he loves the world. And a lot of times it does take work and sometimes hard work to tell others about Jesus. Sometimes it takes having to stay for 2 or 3 hours and go to work and then come up here and, you know, it takes work. Jesus Christ was concerned about everyone, had compassion for everyone, the individual. He wasn't like the TV evangelist who put on radio and TV and had big crowds to assemble. Now that happened some, but that was not what he did the most. What he did most of the time, he was reaching the individual. He was teaching his disciples. You understand again that Jesus Christ viewed everyone as special, created special. And can I tell you this morning again? I want to remind you that God created you special. God loves you. For God loved Eric Crawford that he gave his only begotten son. God loves you this morning. He loves all because he loves each. He knows everybody's name. He is no respecter of persons. Doesn't care about social status. Doesn't care about the color of your skin. Doesn't care about where you've been and what you've done. He loves everybody. And is willing to save anyone. To save anyone. I hope this morning you know you're saved. And then Christian, I hope that we can do, with the help of the Holy Spirit, treat others as Christ treated them. To feel, not just treat them, but to feel the way that Christ felt of others. Even those who look different than us. Those who may not be of us as such, but be able to view them the way Jesus viewed them. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand, have a verse of invitation. Hymn 167, just as I am, I'm thankful the Lord takes us just as we are. You don't have to turn over a new leaf to get saved. No. Just come and repent of your sins and ask Jesus Christ, believing that he lived, died, and rose again, and he says, thou shalt be saved. For with a heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with a mouth confession is made to salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus Christ came to this world to seek and to save that which is lost. I hope this morning you know you're saved. Again, Christian, the individual and reaching them, telling others the good news. Heavenly Father, we thank you for, again, the example we have in your word. And may we as Christians view others the way Christ viewed them. May we have love and compassion and concern for the individual. More may we look at them again the way you look at them. And Lord, I pray that there's someone here this morning who's not saved. Maybe someone watching on the internet who's not saved. May they get saved today. May your Holy Spirit convict them. May they see their need for salvation. May they see their need for Jesus Christ and come to him. May they drink of that living water and never thirst again. Thank you and love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn 167, just as I am. As we